This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
We are here. We have made it. It is 10:14 on a Saturday night. We apologize for being late, but we had a cat that's literally trying to eat Cresta out of her house and home.
Bro, moment.
We had a legit cat emergency on a Saturday night. Everything is fine now, and we are here, and we are ready to roll. How can you not be fired up after the last 4 minutes there, Cresta?
I mean, I tweeted this. Tony Khan, you sly dog, you booked that for Cresta Star. I see what you did there.
Oh, my goodness. Tonight, that main event was it was very, very good. I thought Thunder Rosa absolutely killed it in that matchup, even though she did not come out on top. But we do have a new number one contender for the TBS Championship in Mercedes Moné. No rest whatsoever for what she's calling herself now, Two Belts Moné. She defended both of her championships in 5 days, and now she has got another title match coming up on Saturday. So we'll break down all the ramifications from the main event tonight. Plus, I think we had like 19 tag team matches on this show tonight. A lot to get into. We appreciate everybody who is in the chat. Get those super chats in. Get those humper chats in. We'll read every single one of those on the air tonight throughout the entirety of the evening. If you're new to the program, welcome to the Fightful YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We always appreciate the support. Make sure to engage with us in the chat. Hit those thumbs up. Hit those emotion buttons if we make you laugh. Whatever we got going on tonight, just engage with us. It really helps drive up the audience. Thank you guys so much. Rick Uccino, Crest of the Star with you until we run out of stuff to talk about. Let's kick things off here, Cresta. The first collision since All In, and we rolled up with some good old conglomeration hologram action here. A trios match here. Look, these were six dudes I was not expecting to see in a ring at one time, but I was not mad at it. We had Kyle O'Reilly, Orange Cassidy, and Hologram against Johnny TV, Beast Mortos, and Lee Moriarty. And by the way, like, you could just tell what kind of night this was going to be when we got Hologram coming down to the ring and we got Kyle O'Reilly doing the twist in the middle of the dang ring.
Not Hologram. Kyle O'Reilly is the most unserious wrestler. He's up there with Tama Tonga and Tongaloa for being super serious, but not serious at all.
I love it, though. He was having a good old time. And then so was Hologram when he got in the ring. That man just absolutely continues to impress. The Spanish fly that he hit on Johnny TV was only outshined by Taya's reaction to it on the outside. The combo moves from Kyle and Orange were really, really smooth, especially in the part where this was supposed to be just absolute chaos. And we just had a constant interchanging of like six dudes running in the ring. And I totally missed who was even legal at this point. Led up to a really, really nice finish. Once again, Hologram gets another win. This was chaotic. Again, it wasn't a six-man match that I knew I needed to see until I saw it. It was a fun opener tonight here, Cresta.
I agree. And as somebody who's watched The Beast Mortos since he was Black Taurus, this was fantastic. And honestly, I want him versus Hologram. That's going to be some fancy, fine lucha libre, if I do say so myself. Also, I got to give a shout out to Tony Schiavone on commentary, congratulating Nigel McGuinness for coming back, yes, being an all in, but also saying, Nigel, you got spirit out your boots. What are you talking about? Wait, what are you talking about, Nigel? Like, relax. You were gonna challenge who? Danielson. Oh, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I thought that was very cheeky and very nice. The spin that the Beast Mortos does, I think it was a tornado through the middle rope. That was so crisp. Yeah. Like you said, that Spanish fly was crisp. Hologram is so good. So good. I cannot wait for the eventual Hologram Ricochet match, because that's going to be whose feet are touching the ground. All three of them and Will Ospreay. Nobody's feet is touching the ground. And I cannot wait.
I mean, Hologram, first off, Hologram versus Ricochet would be like an Avengers level fight scene. I mean, just that's what that would end up being. I do agree with you, though. Like, Hologram and Beast Mortos, we did see that a couple of weeks back. I think it might have been on one of the episodes that you weren't here for, and it was me and Iridium breaking that down. But I would be down. No, actually, I think it was me and SP3, because neither you or Iridium were there. So it was that night.
Wow, we're not coming to work.
Yeah, so that was me and SP3 doing the Hologram Beast Mortos match. That was a fantastic matchup. So I highly suggest going back and watching it. It's out there. It exists. The tape is there. The tape is there. For sure. But, you know, you bring up Nigel coming back, right? Man, like, if we're ever going to get Nigel versus Bryan Danielson, like, it's...
Now's the time.
Time's running out. Time is running out. Like,
I would love to see a match, even if it's like a warm-up match, where Danielson is like, Nigel, for the past 2 years, you've been running me down. I think it's time for you to show me where those clams I've been digging are at. I think it's time.
Like, it's so interesting with Danielson, right? Because we just don't know what the timing is for him. And he's already got, what, three number one contenders right now that are on his slate, because he's got Jack Perry this Saturday. He's got Christian Cage anytime that Christian wants it. And then at Grand Slam, he's got Darby Allin. And we're already hearing rumors about how, you know, AEW has been considering putting the belt on Darby. So would, you know, the greatest wrestler to come out of the state of Washington put over another guy to come out of the state of Washington in his final match? Like, would that be something that they would do there? If that's the case, the clock is really ticking down, and we need to get Danielson and Nigel McGuinness. If that match doesn't happen, that would be one of the greatest travesties of wrestling history if that match never happens. I've got a lot of thoughts about Bryan Danielson. Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Finish your thought. I apologize.
No, because I was getting ready to move on to the next thing. That was what we call a transition. But if you got a final thought, go ahead.
I have a final thought with what you just said as well. This would be the second tragedy that AEW has committed if they don't do Danielson versus Nigel. And the first one was Christian Cage versus Brian Cage versus Ethan Page versus Adam Page in a steel cage on Rampage. And we didn't get that. So at this point, you already booked some matches for me. You've already trademarked the meaty matches. Just have Danielson rough up Nigel. Even if it's a 5-minute squash, just shake him up. Just do it. Don't miss this opportunity again. I might be upset. I'm still going to watch, but I might be upset.
A-Shock chiming into the chat. Was the show good? I thought the show was very good overall tonight. There just wasn't. The matches were really, really good. There just wasn't a lot of stakes for a show that was this close. Coming off of a pay-per-view just a week ago, less than a week ago, And with a pay-per-view next Saturday night, there weren't a whole lot of stakes outside of tonight's main event, which we will get to. I have a lot of thoughts on Bryan Danielson and how much time he has left. And a lot of that stems off of what we saw on Wednesday, Cresta, which we, after the opening contest, got a recap of Jon Moxley's reappearance in AEW. First time we had seen him since Forbidden Door. He shows up, no wild thing, pays absolutely no attention to the crowd whatsoever, gets in the ring with Tony Schiavone, starts talking about how he needs to talk to Darby Allin about something. Darby not there after getting his ass whooped in the coffin match just 3 days prior. And poor Darby almost got lit on fire, that man. Anywho, so like you got Mox talking all this stuff, and then he comes back and he tells Tony Schiavone, get this through your head. This isn't your company anymore. And everybody starts running rampant with all of these like Shane McMahon, like deep cut conspiracy theory things on Twitter. But then at the end of the night, Mox brings in Marina Shafir and they start, you know, they're stealing Lance Archer's gimmick where they just start beating people up backstage. And I'm sitting here, I'm going, okay, what the hell is this? Cresta, what do you make of what is going on with Jon Moxley? And Marina Shafir, for that matter.
First of all, I want to say apologies deeply to Marina Shafir. I thought it was Beth Phoenix at first. I made the whole video because from the back, all I saw was mad, swole. I don't know what those are. Deltoids, well, I guess. But yeah. Marina Shafir looks so good. So, girl, yes. Also, if this means that the BCC are coming for blood now, it is quite a shame that Serena Deeb was not involved in that.
I think the BCC is quietly being retired.
I think so as well, especially with Danielson coming to the sunset of his career by choice, yeah. By the way.
Yes,
I could see that happening, and I could see Mox going a little deeper and darker. And while someone like a Claudio who's like, I'll do it for a bit until I'm bored, Yuta might be like, hey, you know what? I kind of like the violent thing, but not like this. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it, but all I got was retribution vibes the way it should have been. I did see the Shane McMahon rumors. No.
Yeah.
The time to debut him was after Okada in the Royal Rumble. Not Royal Rumble.
The Casino Gauntlet match is the word.
The music would have been too perfect. Rainmaker, and then here comes the money.
And then Buckshot Lariat and never see him again.
Out of the ring. Never see him again.
But part of me is wondering, and the reason why I'm thinking this, because I'm putting my mind together, my thoughts together on this. And I was like, oh, crap, this might be a Shane McMahon thing until Marina Shafir showed up. Right. So I'm like, OK, maybe they're doing kind of a blood sport thing. Maybe there's something else, this other direction that they're going here. But part of me is wondering, and I'm just going to throw this out there and let y'all just let it sink deep in the chat here and y'all can go crazy with this. What if Mox wants to talk to Darby Allin because he wants Darby Allin to retire Bryan Danielson? What if Mox wants, like, what if there's some kind of motivation here where Mox is trying to save Danielson from himself and he wants Darby Allin to beat him for the AEW World Championship and end Bryan Danielson's career? Like, I don't have all the pieces of the puzzle together yet, but I'm wondering, because I'm trying to connect the dots here, the fact that he has changed his music, he clearly is being more heelish tactics, he's brought in Marina Shafir, and meanwhile you got Claudio and Yuta and Pac winning the Trios titles, and Bryan Danielson winning the World Championship and going on this retirement tour. Mox has he's got some motives. I don't know what the motives are, but he's got some motives. I'm intrigued. I'm definitely intrigued by this.
I'm sports intrigued with what you just said, because that's why I have to make the mustache. Like, that's you spitting. I have to get the chin strap. Nah, that is a
I don't have all the pieces. Like, it doesn't add up all just yet, but
because I remember, I think you and I, or all three of us, were speaking at one time that Wrestle Dream or something is in Washington as well. And wouldn't it be nice to have Swerve and Danielson? Because I do think there's more to Swerve's run. Yes. I understand giving it to Danielson right now is very akin to the last rodeo, her Mickie James. Yeah. I get it.
It was now or never.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, if we're going to do it, same thing with Nigel, let's do it then. I don't know if Darby is the one to retire him. And I don't know if Darby is someone you put in BCC. So I'm very sports intrigued, and I would like to see where this goes.
Because WrestleDream is in Washington, and I believe that's the October pay-per-view. I believe it's either October or November.
I think it's November 2nd.
Yeah, it's around there, right? Mm-hmm. So, but that's in Washington. What if you did a triple threat main event of Darby, Bryan Danielson, and Swerve, all from Washington, in Washington, in the main event for the AEW World Championship? Could do that. Could do that.
Technically, Danielson doesn't have to eat a pin.
He doesn't. I'm sure he would like to go out on his back, though.
Yeah.
That just seems like the kind of guy that he would be. Anyway, there's lots of things to think about here.
I'm
interested to see how this plays out. Mox could actually have something completely different from what Danielson's doing, so I don't know. We got a Humper Chat here from Orion. What?
No, I just put the thing up with Drew said. WrestleDream is October 12th.
Thank you. There we go. Okay. So we're closing in. We're closing in. We got Orion Ben 666 sending in a Humper Chat. They finally gave Heredia the main event she was craving, and she ain't here tonight. LOL. TK heard our complaints and almost addressed them all. Sickos collide, and kudos to South Dakota treating everyone like a star tonight. Give them a pay-per-view. I got to say, I was impressed with South Dakota, and that is literally the first time I think I've ever said that.
Yeah, I don't know South Dakota for being like a wrestle town. And tonight they were like, I don't care. But when I do, we do. Oh, yeah.
We had the Bang Bang Gang against the Premier Athletes. And all I can say on this match is, love something as much as Juice loves shaking his hips to his own theme music.
I feel like we have the same notes, because the first note I have is Juice is Donnie from the Wild Thornberries. He's having the time of his life.
That dude was loving it. And he was the highlight, honestly, of the match. Like, he was on one tonight. I did think this was a fun match, where once again, the Premier Athletes found it way too easy to just grab a hold of that L. Like, if they're on Ring of Honor, they know how to win there. Few and far between. I'd actually like to see them pick up some wins on Collision if they're going to keep wrestling. But hey, they're on TV. They've got a role to play. These are really, really talented guys. So it's a start for them. Tony Nese has been in AEW now for like 2 years. So they've got something like that. I think time flies. It really does. But yeah, man, it either way, it's a good win to give the Bang Bang Gang coming off of the loss at All In.
I agree. I feel like, unfortunately, this was a fancy squash match, if you will. You didn't go to McDonald's. You went to Church's Chicken. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing wrong with that. They looked great. Mark Sterling doing what he had to do. I really don't have any notes. I really don't have any notes.
I kind of got the same with a few of these. We got Good Doer asking in the chat here. Hey guys, had a thought. Danielson versus Nigel at WrestleDream. Look, I don't.
LOL.
You can put that match on Collision, on Dynamite. Whatever. What?
I wouldn't do the paper.
Ever. It's just so hard to know what the timeline is for Danielson. Mm-hmm. If he's going to be able to stick around for another 2-3 months, I guess you could do that match at WrestleDream. But if he's only going to be able to stick around for 6 weeks and WrestleDream is the end game, I don't foresee Bryan Danielson's title reign being very long. He's got transition champion written all over him due to the circumstances surrounding where he's at right now. He has openly said he needs neck surgery sooner rather than later. So that tells me I don't know. He could drop it to Darby. He could drop it to Swerve in a rematch. He could drop it to he could win the triple threat match at Wrestle Dream, and then Christian Cage could decide to cash in his thing right there and walk out of Wrestle Dream with the title. Like,
I mean, I think that a program with Christian Cage and Danielson is not what I want to see. I don't want to see Christian Cage talk about Danielson's dad. I don't want to hear Christian Cage talk about Danielson as a father. I don't want to hear that.
Oh, you know what? No, that's too good. That's too good.
It will be, but I don't want to hear. I can imagine some of the vile things he would say.
Like imagine, right? Like imagine doing like a Dominic deadbeat dad thing where you're like not afraid to go beyond calling him a deadbeat dad. Like Christian is not going to shy away from just saying the most heinous, horrendous shit on the planet.
He's going to be like, shut up while I conduct my business, and then just say some heinous shit.
Like, this is the same man who walked into, oh God, what was it? I think it was All Out Last, walked into the All Out media scrum last year and asked everybody in the media how their fathers were doing that night. Like, this man does not give a single F.
Yeah, it's true. I think that might be the last program that Danielson may win with the Christian Cage, but I don't know, because like you said, Darby Allin is next month.
Yeah. 25 days away.
Lot of mercy.
5 days away. We did get a super chat from Rafael Garcia saying, so are they now doing a Pac-Pool Combat Club or the Blackpool Compact Club? Fun collision, but I do feel sorry for Queen Amanada. Saw that pin coming a mile away. Look, we'll get to the main event coming up here in a little bit, but she's really good. She is really, really good, and she is only going to get her opportunity is going to come. And when that Mercedes Queen Amanada match does happen, I was rooting for her tonight. I really was. I was rooting for her tonight. Cresta FTR Undisputed Kingdom. Another one of these matches that kind of felt like a little bit like a glorified squash match tonight. But I'll say this much. I loved the stereo triple suplex spot. That is so difficult to hit the timing correctly on that. And they, chef's kissed, nailed it perfectly. FTR gets the win with the big superplex and the splash. But thank God, afterwards, we get Drake and Gibson who hit the ring. Grizzled young veterans are exactly what the AEW tag team division needed. New blood, because after the Young Bucks retained the tag team titles at All In, needed a new direction to go in. And they're not ready for the Young Bucks yet, but damn it, this is an infusion of fresh talent in the tag team division. Desperately needed, Cresta. So glad they're here.
Where is Motor City Machine Guns? I'm tired of waiting.
Last we heard, they were WWE bound. I know they're out there though. Nothing happens.
Who was old boy who took forever to come to WWE? Who's coming? Who was coming to Raw for mad long and got lost? Because that's Veer? How I feel. They took the same path that Veer took. Like, because what's happening? What is that? They took the same path. Honestly, Jones, it took him 2 years after getting drafted twice. So that being said, this match was fine. Taven was getting used this match. Yeah, bless Taven's heart. Taven was just getting used this match.
And
Mike Bennett had a few spots, but Taven was selling. He was out here sell. I'm glad GYV is here. I do like the line that
Drake.
Who's the other gentleman?
Drake.
Thank you. That Drake said that we are constantly getting compared to you guys and we're tired of living in your shadow for no reason. No reason. We don't even know you guys just because I'm bald. Get out of here. Like that. I respect it. So that match is going to be audio listeners, I'm dancing. I'm happy dancing. I'm happy dancing. I'm about to be sports entertained. That's going to be a good tag team match. I still want Motor City Machine Guns, GYV, FTR. That's my spaghetti ball falling out.
throwing some M&M boys, and we be cooking. We be cooking for
honestly,
sure.
They we'll wrestle so them. Good, but the promos, their promos are going to make that whole M&M boys look. That would enough. Be great.
Can't get enough of them. Cannot get enough of them. I will eat M&Ms all night long. Don't give a fuck. But I did like that line as well, right? I loved the we're tired of living in their shadows, and I'm hoping they kind of do some kind of an angle here where it's like they're really, really bitter because FTR left the E, they left the Death Star, and they went out and they're having the matches that they've always wanted to. They're winning tag team championships, and then these boys were given contacts and spooky gimmicks and stripped down to what they are not, and, you know, relegated to NXT television. So maybe they can do some kind of an angle there. We had Lance Archer back to murdering people backstage.
I didn't understand this because I thought, okay, maybe we're getting a Lance Archer match. But I will say that if I am somebody who works there, I want to go to HR. This is unsafe.
Maybe, well, we don't know who those people were. Maybe that was the HR department that he was taking out.
Girl, that's a. I will say that one, Christian Mingle Punk was fired for putting Jack Perry in a guillotine. And this man chokeslammed HR? Oh, girl.
Just murdered HR Punk.
He said, yo, you can't fire me if no one's here to fire me. I don't know what we're doing with Lance Archer. This is something me and Aridia complain about because Lance can win everywhere except AEW. So, like, beating other people backstage is like, so you're a bully?
Man's just unhinged. Then just grabs a camera and says, everybody dies.
I would like to see Lance Archer win something against someone big, same, like a Brian Cage. And then he say, everybody dies. I believe it. I need you to F5 or a Hurricane. Do something to, like a Brian Cage, a really meaty man. And then I'd believe it. But until then, it's like, ugh.
His biggest win on AEW television was when he beat Jon Moxley for the IWGP United States Championship. And that, I believe, was 3 years ago. I believe if my
the way they disrespect Lance Archer here in AEW is criminal.
Yeah. We'll be back after more with more in just a second, guys.
Manscaped.com and the code Fightful. They have a monopoly on the bathroom. Let's be real. When they start selling wipes, it's over for everybody. What don't they have at Manscaped? It starts off, you know, with your body parts, your balls and your butt, but it's a lot more than that. They got everything in the bathroom, from the shower with body wash and shampoo and body buffers, to the beard. They have a phenomenal beard trimmer. They have beard combs, beard oil, beard conditioner, all that good stuff. And for your nether regions as well. They have a variety of packages that you can try out, from ones that go from the bathroom to your body to your hair. It doesn't really matter. They've got you covered. They've got a little something for everybody. If you're on the go, they have the go bag as well. They've got travel options. Manscaped.com and the code Fightful. You're always going to find a great deal when you use that code at Manscaped.
Oh, boy. Not Drew bringing up Joe Pearl. Smartly said on Twitter, Lance Archer is back, so there must be a battle of the belts coming up. Don't put that juju on me.
We're not covering that.
don't you dare put that kind of juju on me. All right. I don't need to do a 3-hour show on a Saturday night. I'm not that much of a sicko.
I think I'm going to be conveniently sick that night.
A Shock asking, has anyone seen the first Beetlejuice movie? Only 900 times. 900. That movie came out the year I was born, and next weekend sequel, literally waited my entire life for it. Cannot freaking wait. I'm gonna go see that in Chicago ahead of All Out. That's exactly what I'm going to be doing next weekend. It sounds like a damn good weekend for me. All right, so let's see. Where do we leave off? We left off with
tag.
Yes, we left off with Top Flight, Action Andretti, and Leo Rush in full flight attendant's garb, going up against Jack Jameson, Turbo Floyd, and the Iron Savages. No surprise here. Top Flight gets the win. Semi-surprised Turbo Floyd was over in South Dakota. They were cheering for that man who looked like a skinny 1980s Hulk Hogan tonight.
That Outrunners are super over. They scratched that 80s. Like,
there's the only a vibe way I can, there.
Yes. The only way I can describe it is they have the perfect look for Nick Nemeth's music currently. Like, it's very 80s, it's very painfully 80s. It's so 80s. This was again a glorified enhancement match. That being said, I think there's a better way to put Top Flight over rather than having their opponents look like complete dolts. And I had to use dolt because I don't think idiot is the right word here. Yeah. You tag me and me tagging. I think it did no one any favors there. That's my only critique of the whole show, that in particular, because making it look like these guys can't get along to win a common goal is a little bit silly, don't you think? And yeah, that's just my two cents. Overall, the match was good, though.
Yeah, no, like I said, like this whole first hour, right? And that's my biggest complaint is we're coming off of a big pay-per-view. You got another big pay-per-view a week coming up. And then how they set up this match, the first hour was a trios match, a tag team match, and then an 8-man tag team match. And honestly, like outside of the Grizzled Young Vets showing up, which hopefully sets up a tag team match for All Out, none of it had any stakes. None of it really mattered. None of it really advanced any kind of storylines whatsoever. Like, you know, it very minimal stuff that was done there. So again, in-ring action, great. Can't complain there. I was hoping for maybe just a little bit more in the setup and the build to All Out next weekend. We did, though, get Ishii versus Kyle Fletcher tonight. And yeah. This was stiff. This made me happy as a pig, and you know what? This was a slap fight from the get-go. We're getting fucked on Don Callis chance early on in this match, which again sent South Dakota good on ya. We get a wicked brainbuster to Ishii on the apron. Fletcher then shows off some impressive power. He lifts Ishii up for a big power bomb. Yeah. Drop that man with authority into the bottom turnbuckle with a lawn dart toss. It took two tombstones, but Fletcher finally put Ishii down. This was my kind of jam, man. This was a great matchup. Ishii, no notes, as always, with that man, with Tomohiro. But Kyle Fletcher is so good. He's going to be something really, really special. Like, he's already good. This man's going to be special.
I will say that this match started off a little sluggish for me, but I feel like that's the Ishii match. He always starts off slow, but then they started just forearming each other, and that was, I like a good meat potatoes. But there were no potatoes in this match. It was all just meat. It was all just meat. You know what I mean? Just meat.
Plenty of onions, though.
Yeah, onions and meat. Onions and liver. Onions and liver. No potatoes, no meat. I mean, the razor's edge being countered into that top rope hurricanrana from Ishii was fantastic. That is one of those things where it's like, if you have a picture of that move right there, mid-move, worth $1 million. Kyle Fletcher, I'm so happy for him. I want him, and I think he will be, but I want him low-key, high key to be the next. Who is someone who's good in the air but also on the ground? All I got is Will Ospreay, and I think that's what I thought you were saying.
Yeah, that's where I thought you were going with, because it's like, I don't know what's going up like long term with the Don Callis family, because you've kind of had Will Ospreay separate himself from the family now. I mean, I don't know what's going on with Takeshna. honestly.
Oh, I heard he out in New Japan just beating people up.
But as far as like AEW is concerned, I don't know what's going on with Takeshita. Like that guy had all the momentum going on behind him, and now it's just like gone. Bye bye. But regardless, Fletcher absolutely has a bright future. We had Pac backstage, and Cresta, if you did not hear him correctly, he said he is not content with getting his Wembley moment and winning the Trios Championships. He is still full of piss and vinegar. He is tired of being overlooked. He is overdue. He is done waiting. He understands contractual obligations. He would fight Will Ospreay for that international championship tonight, but he will have to wait 7 days in order to do it. And he wants a little appetizer. He wants a piece of the new international champion. So he lays out a challenge for a trios match, Ospreay and two friends against the trios champs. And we get Orange Cassidy and Kyle O'Reilly. Once again, Kyle being the most unserious person on this entire show. Mark Briscoe being a reference character in this backstage segment. They accept on behalf of the international champion. And we got a fun little trios match that has been set up for Wednesday on Dynamite.
I can't wait for that. That sounds really fun. But I still like the Pac Pool Combat Club. But much like Eddie Kingston and Claudio Castagnoli, Pac, you hate that guy. I know you even walked out on these guys one time. So I can't wait to see how that turns out.
We got Boris asking, Rick, did you get that lucky red hat from Phil? No, I've actually had this since college. I got this at the University of Cincinnati when I was a student there. Good God, way too freaking long ago now.
I thought that was a Chick-fil-A hat.
Oh my God. God damn. No, it's Cincinnati. It's a sea paw. Cincinnati Bearcats. Good night. I thought I was wearing a Chick-fil-A hat. Why would I wear a Chick-fil-A hat?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
You over here just let me get away with wearing a Chick-fil-A hat? I would have questioned that immediately.
I wasn't sure. I would have said something offline. I wasn't sure. I'm sorry.
Oh, my Lord.
All I know is sports entertainment. I don't know sports, guys. Please.
The show has gone off the rails. We got Pile Driver saying, when you're given free clothes, just take it. That's the only way I'm...
Yeah! I love it! I'm sorry, y'all.
Oh, feeling dreepy with the super chat saying, I'll be sad when Ishii stops being a regular on AEW TV. You and me both. Now it's a thing.
See, I'm not the only one.
Got Rick wearing a church's chicken hat. Damn it. Now I got to make this a thing. Now the next time I'm on this show, it's going to be a few weeks, so I got a chance to go shopping. I'm going to have to go get a Chick-fil-A hat now, aren't I?
You should get an orange hat. Isn't that like a Bengals thing? And you can say it's Popeyes.
What's our other sponsor tonight?
Blue Chew, I think.
Yep, sure is.
Blue Chew, main event performance, main event confidence, and a main event deal. Go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL, and you will get Blue Chew with their first shipment for free. Shipment? Yeah, I said shipment. No waiting in line at the pharmacy, no awkward doctor's visits. You take their online exam, and then if approved, it ships straight to your door. That's right. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and much more affordable. How can you pass up on this? How can you pass up on that confidence? How can you pass up on that performance? How can you pass up on making your sex life better? That's what Blue Chew is here to do. You don't have to have a problem to use Blue Chew. Just get that additional performance. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
That is a bold statement to say. Who wouldn't want to make their sex life better? Right? Sean, I don't have one. Mind your business. How about that, huh?
Awkward transition time. We had Buddy Matthews going up against Commander. I thought Buddy straight up killed this man on three different occasions. That knee that he hit on the ring apron was loud with a capital L. Dude was just laying in the strikes tonight, though. Commander kept this one pretty competitive. Almost got the win with the tornado DDT. Matthews, though, ends up prevailing with another big knee to the face and then hit that, I don't know what he calls it, but that swinging, like, like Samoan drop type move that he has right there. Chef's kiss. No notes on that one. Brody King comes out to celebrate at the end. And then the segment of the night, Cresta, like pure sex. We get the M&M boys coming out there. They talk about major fashion week next week. They're going to make a statement. They issue a challenge to the House of Black next week on Friday Night's Collision. They say they're going to make them outdated like frosted tips. Speaking of frosted tips, frost my tip right here. Friday night fashion fight makes me mad that we ain't doing a show next week, as far as I know. I don't know if we're doing one on Friday. I'm going to be in Chicago. We'll let Sean figure that out. Yeah, but
somebody will figure it out.
these guys are so damn good at what they do. One, they know how to really wrestle, and they know how to wrestle in character. But they are highly entertaining, and they are all in 100% committed to this gimmick. And I cannot give them enough credit for taking this thing that they were saddled with in WWE that was dead in the water, dead on arrival, never was going to be successful. Never. Despite the best efforts of those who were involved, they were never going to work with this. When they were let go from WWE, could have done literally anything that they wanted. They decided to stick together. They decided to lean into this gimmick and say, F you, we can make this work. And they are doing it. I need more of that. I need these boys to be staples on Saturday night. Staples.
I agree. So I'm going to start with the most mature part of this match, because I'm ready to be so immature. I'm ready to be so mature because that Buddy Matthews catching Commander by his neck twice. I was right there with you, Rick. I'm like, that man is dead. Commander is dead. He's dead. Like I watch TNA and I watch people die every week. So yeah, you're dead as well. So that was a really good match. Murphy's Law. Thank you so much.
Yeah. At least that's what it was called. Yeah. At one point.
When MXM, because his name kicked my ass last week too.
Yeah, when I'm calling them M&M boys. It's easier to say.
When they came out and they said, we're going to make you black and blue, and that's outdated, I laughed. But hear me when I say, we're going to turn you into the House of Black. Who approved that? Because it popped the boys in the back in me. I was watching in Discord, and all of us were like, hey! And then we all looked at each other like Spider-Man. That was great. I honestly don't want them to be a comedy act, but I like this comedy act. Them versus the boys at Dalton Castle versus the Bang Bang. I just want to laugh. I'm sports entertained.
Yeah.
This is good shit, pal. Who approved that? Because I laughed.
I don't know, but I'm glad they did.
Me too.
Like that's one of the best things about this is like, and look, I'm a big WWE guy, and I totally understand the family friendly PG thing, sponsors, corporate business that they have to abide by. So it's not a knock on them, but I love that AEW is not limited in that fashion where they can really push the envelope. and say some mature, dirty shit every now and again. And that was great. It was 9:45 on a Saturday night. By the time that that line was uttered, I got no problems with it. None.
I will also say there is a way to do it on WWE, because I definitely saw the promo with the Usos versus New Day when it was like, don't get Triple X like your boy. There's ways to do it. Like Bugs Bunny used to do all these tongue-in-cheek jokes back. It's possible, but this was...
Can't do it on Fox. And that's why, like, man...
Did you watch Bash of Berlin? Because I saw the way Rhea Ripley pinned Liv Morgan. Let me say panic. I was panicking. I was shook panicking, okay? It was family friendly about that. I was sweating. I felt like SpongeBob. I don't need it.
I was sweating from Rhea's entrance. What are you talking about?
Like, we're all just out here like...
Everybody in Berlin was thirsty. All right? That's all I'm going to say.
Just panic. Everyone just panicked.
Good.
There's ways to do it. There's ways to do it. I don't know if WWE has the depth, but on AEW, you're right. You could do it right here on the nose.
We got Kate infiltrating.
Kate says, get back on cue. You guys got 20 minutes left.
I don't think I'm gonna make it 20 minutes tonight. Let's dive into the main event here, Cresta. This was a main event for us, is what this was. We had Serena Deeb, Queen Aminata, Hikaru Shida, and Thunder Rosa. Winner gets Mercedes Moné for the TBS Championship at All Out next Saturday. We did skip over a backstage segment earlier on in the night, by the way, where we had Serena Deeb talking with Queen Aminata. I love that all four of these women were getting like vignette packages throughout the night, kind of just making the main event feel like a big deal, which it was going to feel like that anyway, based off of the low stakes from everything else on this show tonight.
That's very fair.
Really, really leaning into it and putting over the highlights and the accomplishments of every woman that was in this match. I thought that was a really nice touch. You had Serena Deeb basically saying, hey, why don't you and I work together tonight? You're young. You're not ready for the spotlight tonight. So why don't you help me tonight get to where I need to be? And before you even answer, just think it over. And we see these two working together early on in the matchup before, of course, Serena Deeb clotheslines the hell out of her later on. But just a few highlights. I mean, Aminata hit a running knee on Shida that was so hard that woman damn near fell out of the ring.
Bro, that was sports entertainment. That was
great recovery. Great recovery, because that could have looked bad, and she made it look absolutely badass. There was like I said at the top of the show, I thought Thunder Rosa was on fire in this match. She had this great like counter where she, it's not technically a drop kick, not really a pump kick either, but it's just laid in the double feet to one gal and then was able to flip over and hit a backstabber. I believe it was on Serena Deeb that she hit it on. Great, great combo move. Queen Aminata hitting the yes kicks on Serena Deeb while Serena Deeb had a half Boston crab locked in, and Deeb is just sitting there taking it like the badass that she is. This match delivered on every note for me. Ultimately, Shida ends up getting the win with a wicked kick to the temple on Queen Aminata. My only complaint, Cresta, and I'll let you run down all your notes. My only complaint is we just got this match, right? Like, I'm not mad that we're going to get a rematch, but we just had Shida versus Mercedes. I was rooting for Mercedes and Queen Aminata, or Mercedes and Serena Deeb, but I will take it, and we will get a banger on Saturday, and we will all be seated, and we will all eat, and we will all be happy.
Yes, this was the only women's match tonight, and that's okay. Because there's a lot of ladies peppered throughout this whole show.
Yes.
They were all working stiff. Like you said, the hip attacks from Queen Aminata into the kicks for everyone in the corner. You get a kick. Fantastic. I personally would have liked to see Deeb versus Mercedes. But that's just because I am a Serena Deeb fan.
Sure.
I think she deserves more than what she's got. And I understand why she is. But I also understand that decision. Deeb could be a good next up. You give someone like Sheeta the... Like a really stiff match with Mercedes, because that's what we're going to get, especially at All Out. And it's a draw, whether you like Sheeta or not. Because I know there's people who may not be as high on Sheeta. She's an amazing in-ring performer. And her versus Mercedes is going to give a stiff match that a lot of people... You had a stiff match with Baker, but this is going to be a Joshi stiff match. And there's a difference. There is a difference. It's like Perry Saturn in the early 2000s. There's a difference, baby. So... I understand. I think Aminata, I mean, she don't even go here. Sorry. You got Ring of Honor stuff going on. It sucks. And the Thunder Rosa, I think Rosa should take it off of Monet. Whenever that does happen, it should be Rosa. But Rosa going to have to go through her, Camille, maybe a few other people. But if anyone's going to take it off of Monet, I think it should be Thunder Rosa.
Answering A-Shock, who asked that question. I have a one.
Oh,
yeah.
I skipped ahead.
I have a one word answer. Athena. Anyway. Ooh. So.
No. I'll do you one better. Mercedes wins the AEW Women's Champion. Then Athena.
Okay. Yeah. Just give me all the Athena. Like, she has just. I know she has been a great Ring of Honor Women's Champion. I'm ready for her to drop the belt and move up to AEW TV full time. Like I'm beyond. I agree ready. With
that. But I'm I feel like she ready. Has to be at the. I need her in the main event only, and she's proven that she can be in. The, she's a main event contender. Like don't piss me off, Tony.
Athena versus Mercedes, main event, all in Texas. Maybe by that point for the AEW Women's Championship? Who says no? I ain't.
I'm not saying no, but no, well, all in will be around this time this year. Mariah May could have dropped it. She could drop it there. But I don't know. I don't think quite there quite as yet. Maybe the middle, or I don't know. I'm not a booker.
Year. There's a lot that could happen in a year. Yeah. This ain't WWE. We ain't getting everybody year-long title runs.
Oh, thank God. Like, I don't mind if it makes sense. I'm here for it if it makes sense. Roman Reigns, after a while, made sense. Josh Alexander made sense. But just to have it on someone kind of like the Undertaker, she's like, oh, nobody ever beat the Undertaker. Maybe no one should beat the Undertaker. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Dang. That's just the thing with me right now, because I'm sitting here and I'm like, you got all these main event level guys and we got two world titles and we can't get Kevin Owens one in 7 years. We can't get Kevin Owens one in 7 years.
I know this is an AEW show and I rarely talk about WWE, but Kevin Owens is fantastic and so is Sami Zayn. And sometimes, and I'll even go ahead and throw a Malakai Black in there because I feel he falls into the same category. At some point, you got to let these people know that they're appreciated and loved and that you care about them. And there's no reason why that these guys who give, never get anything. Because that's how I also felt about Judgment Day meddling in LWO. I don't want this to be a Bash in Berlin cover, but I have gripes. I have feelings.
Now, just because they haven't won a world championship, or at least in KO's point, a long time, doesn't mean they get nothing. These are guys who main evented night one of WrestleMania two years ago. Kevin Owens actually main evented back-to-back WrestleMania. He's got to wrestle Stone Cold Steve Austin in the main event.
I'll tell you why I'm so mad about the whole Kevin Owens thing, because there was the first title defenses for Roman Reigns. They were fumbling with the handcuffs, and he clearly won. He clearly won there, and I never forgave y'all for that. Yeah, I'm holding on to it like an ex-girlfriend. I never forgave y'all for that.
Going to be interesting to see what happens with him over the next 6 months.
I can't wait. I saw somebody in chat say AEW might offer KO a buttload of money. And I feel like, wasn't he a part of like the original Elite or whatever it was, or crew of guys?
He's really good friends with Young Bucks. Yeah.
That would be Kevin Owens in the Elite. Kevin Steen, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it would be Kevin Steen.
He would be like the worst corporate. He'd be like that guy from Parks and Rec who hates everything and only eats the meat.
Ron.
Yes. Yeah. Like, you got to talk to Kevin first. He come in with a tie. You don't even have a shirt on. Shut up. But what do you want? That would be fantastic. KO as a Ron, a freaking the elite. Like, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to the tag titles. I want to beat them up. Yeah, get away from our door.
This show has just gone up, down, all around, everywhere. Apparently also brought to you in part by Chick-fil-A tonight. Cresta, what do you got going on? Where can people find your stuff?
Collider Cousins, I love you guys so much for being here. And thank you all for being here. No matter how crazy, me, Iridian, me, Rick, and Iridian get off the rails. I am on Fightful every Thursdays. Every Saturday is covering TNA on Thursdays and Collision on Saturdays. On Wednesdays, you can find your girl, Cresta Star, out here in the TikTok and Twitch streets at Cresta Star, streaming AEW. We don't stream it like I want to get DMCA'd. I will probably do a watch along for, there's an NXT show tomorrow and I want to watch it. I don't watch NXT, not because I don't like it, but it's because I need to sleep and not watch wrestling one day a week. But I'm going to watch it because Joe Hendry's going to be there and I'm a Joe Hendry stan. If that was a lot, Cresta Star, no, Cresta the Star on Twitter, because Elon Musk got your girl. And there's a link tree in my bio. I love you guys. You're fantastic. Rick, where can they find you?
One-stop shop on the X account. One of these days, I'll figure out how to point to my damn name. On the X account, at Rick Uccino right there. That's the one-stop shop for pretty much anything I got going on right now, which in the last 2 weeks has been a lot since I started over at Sports Illustrated. I talked to the aforementioned Kevin Owens. I talked to Roxanne Perez ahead of her title match tomorrow. I spoke with Mandy Rose about her return to wrestling this coming Wednesday. I got more stuff coming out with Mojo Rawley, Mandy, Chris Van Vliet, and Lyra Valkyria this week, which reminds me I need to go start writing because I'll sleep when I'm dead, apparently. All right, so you can follow me there. Appreciate the support. Thank you guys so much. I don't know what the schedule is next week. Collision, reminder, Friday night next week. Jeez. So somebody will figure that out because I'm going to be in Chicago.
I want to say it's 90%. If we do it, it'll probably be me and somebody, and it'll probably be on Overbooked if it happens, because that's also SmackDown. I don't know, man. I don't know
how long it's going to work. There's a lot. We could just throw everything on Kate and Alex and just have
him. You know what? How about just do a run-in on the SmackDown episode? You know, just do a run-in.
We'll figure it out. But Iridian will be back on September 14th. We won't be here, but Iridian will be back on September 14th. We're boycotting her because she missed the last 2 weeks. See you guys. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles, including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Barney Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMePeople, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.